Job chapter 42. We continue with the study that we commenced last week in this particular portion of God's Word. We chose as our text simply the first verse, "Then Job answered the Lord." And we considered for a while some of the things that the Job said in answering the Lord. We noted, first of all, Job's confidence in the Lord or in God. For verse 2, we read that Job said, "I know that thou canst do everything, and no thought can be withholden from thee." Job was brought to realize the reason for all his losses and all that he suffered. He addressed the Lord about the matter. We noted, first of all, with regard to Job, his confidence in God, we noted the awareness of Job. And I took great comfort in those words of Job in the verse 2. When Job said, "I know. I know that thou canst do everything." And what Job was saying here was that he had learned many things through his suffering. And he was able to say, "I know." He came to know more about the Lord. He came to know more about his own foolishness. He came to know more about the things he had been saying. He came to know the reason for what he had suffered. And so he begins in his speaking to the Lord by saying, "I know." And in our times of suffering, we can come to know many things. And here we have the awareness of Job, so that when trials come our way, let us ask the Lord to open the eyes of our understanding and ask the Lord, "Lord, show me what I can learn about thee, about myself, through this time of trial." Because the Lord allows trials to come our way. He will, even as in the case with Job, brought trials, allowed trials to come upon Job, that he might teach him many things. And that's why Job was able to say, "I know, I have learned." We saw the awareness of Job, and then the Almighty and Job. No other name could be given to the one of whom Job spoke, saying, "I know that thou canst do anything." Now we pointed out that those words can have a double meaning. It can speak about God's power. God can do anything. There's nothing that our God cannot do. That's His power. He said, "Is there anything too hard for me?" God can do that which in our eyes is impossible. But God is able. He has the power. But then we pointed out that these words can also refer to God's purpose. And I believe that's what was behind the words of Job. God's purpose. Because you see, Job, during his days of suffering, had raised many questions. relating to why all this had come upon him. After all, Job was that perfect man, feared God, eschewed evil, there was none like him in all the earth, and indeed repeatedly the Lord called him my servant Job. So why would someone known as the servant of God, having the testimony that he had, why would he have to suffer so many things? And it was in the light of that that Job said, I know thou canst do anything. It's not me to question God. God can do anything. It's not for me to question God in his treatment of me, how he deals with me, because I know God can do anything. He can do anything with me. That's what I have come to know. That's what I have come to understand. And Job came to a place that whatever God did, Job had come to a place of acceptance. I know thou canst do anything. Thou canst do anything with me. Thou canst let anything happen to me if it's in thy purpose and according to thy will. I have come to know that and I have come to accept that. That was our third point, the acceptance of Job. Job mentions here a truth which he readily accepted, that no thought can be withholden from thee. We pointed out those words did not refer to Job's thoughts. It is true. No thought of ours can be withholden from the Lord. The Lord knows our thoughts. We've already learned that in those times that the enemies of Christ murmured against him, murmured under their breath, and the Lord knew their thoughts, said to them, does this offend you? He knew their thoughts. But that's not what Job meant here. Job says, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Those words mean that whatever was in the mind or the thoughts of God, no one could prevent the Lord from fulfilling what was in his mind. That's what Job was saying. Again, he's dealing with the purpose of God. And what God purposes to do, Job was saying, no man can prevent the Lord from doing it. That's what Job came to know. And so you see that Job learned many rich lessons and great truths during those days of suffering. I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Whatever, Lord, thou dost think, thou art able to do it. And no man can stand up and say, what doest thou? That led us then to consider Job's confession to God. Job does not attempt to blame someone else for his attitude and the statements which he made. We noted briefly last week his inquiry. For in verse 3, Job says, who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge, Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not, was his inquiry. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Job was repeating the words of the Lord back in Job 38, in the opening two verses. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? In other words, the Lord was saying, Who is this? Who is the man who is giving counsel without knowledge? Now Job repeats those words. The Lord is saying, Who is the man who's giving counsel without knowledge? And in Job 48 and verse 3, Job is saying, I'm the man. Nathan may have said to David, Thou art the man. But Job said to the Lord regarding himself, he was saying, I am that man. I'm the man who gave counsel without knowledge. I'm the man who didn't know really what he was talking about. Similar to Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let us build three tabernacles. One for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And then we're given a comment on what Peter said. And that was it. He didn't know what he was saying, not understanding what he said. It was while Peter was speaking that a cloud descended and prevented him from saying anything more. Sometimes we would need that cloud to descend. Sometimes we say things, give counsel without knowledge. And we would need a cloud to descend to prevent us from saying anything more. As far as Job was concerned, Job confessed, I have overlooked the counsels and the designs of God in afflicting me. I have spoken without knowledge, saying things that were contrary to the ways and the will of God. I confess, I'm that man who has spoken without knowledge. When his wrongdoings were pointed out to him, he graciously confessed, I am that person. I'm guilty of saying things I shouldn't have said. For some of lesser spiritual standing than Job, even when their sin or their failings are exposed, they refuse to confess their wrongdoing. They refuse to confess their sin. They're so proud. They do not see in themselves that they've done anything wrong. Even the Word of God, even though the Word of God has exposed their wrongdoing and exposed their failings, but Job willingly said, I am the man who has given counsel without knowledge. When Nathan exposed David's sin with Bathsheba, David said, I have sinned against the Lord. When Achan was found out after hiding the Babylonian's garment, he said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. The prodigal son came to himself. He says, I'll return home. And I'll tell my Father, I have sinned against thee and against heaven. It's far better when our wrong has been exposed by the Word of God, when our sin has been shown up to us. Far better to immediately confess that sin. Get things right with God. Because if we don't, we'll lose out with the Lord. We noticed not only the inquiry, but we have also Job's ignorance. Job confesses that he uttered that which he understood not, and then goes on to speak about things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Verse 3. The ways of God here by Job are described as being wonderful. The ways of God, he said, too wonderful for me, which I knew not. The word wonderful is not used here the way we would perhaps use it. The word wonderful means too hard, something that's too hard. It also means to be hidden. So the word wonderful has the meaning of something that's too hard or something which is hidden. And sometimes the ways of God can be too hard for us to understand. The Lord may lead us in a certain direction, and we find it hard to understand why he has led us in that direction. We're willing enough to go. We're willing enough to do his bidding. But why has the Lord led us this way? It's too hard for us to understand. Take the same thought and apply the other meaning. That which is hidden. And very often the Lord hides from us and from our eyes his plan and his purpose. You take, for example, Job. And here was Job, and we have already covered all that he lost and all that he has suffered. Now that would be hard for any man to understand. And Job said, such things were too wonderful, or too hard for me to understand. And with regard to the purpose behind all that Job suffered, Job was saying, God's purpose was hidden from my eyes. I couldn't see his purpose in all of this. And once again, it's what Job learned as a result of his sufferings. I believe, though, that verse 3 is such a precious verse, that when things come upon us that we don't understand, or we don't know why, or we find it hard to accept, what we can do then is to rest in the sovereignty of God. As Job said, I know that thou canst do everything. Whatever the purpose God is for my life, whether it is leading me down into the valley of tears, or leading me up the mountain of blessing, my God, I accept, my God can do everything. Whatever he wants to do, I must rest in his will and in his purpose. Because, as Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those that are called according to his purpose. And here is proof of it. God has a plan and a purpose for us all. But there are those times when his plan and his purpose are hidden from our eyes. And what we must do is go on in faith, resting in the Lord and saying, well, the Lord knows. He has planned this way for me. It is his purpose that I go this way. So I rest in him and in his sovereign will. There are times when God deals with us, we may find it hard to understand. Romans 11. Romans 11. In verse 33, Paul says, O the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. His ways are past finding out. The Lord may deal with it with us in such a way that we don't understand the reason why. He may not reveal it to us at the time, but perhaps down the road, maybe in a month or two, maybe even in a year or two, we'll see the purpose of God. And if not in this lifetime, we'll know when we get to heaven. And all those things that we didn't understand here, and all those things that happened to us that were too hard for us to know and to understand, we'll understand them better by and by. We'll know about it all when we get to heaven. And when we get to heaven, we will see the plan. And we will understand then. And we'll give glory to God then for leading us that particular way, even though it was into the valley of tears. We'll understand then. And this is all that Job is saying. He's come to know and he's come to understand that God is in control. And God's will and God's purpose, while I may not understand it, and while I may not be able to take it in, and it may be too hard for me, yet God's will and God's purpose for me is always best. And there's a reason for it all. But it's always for my good. That's what Job is saying. God's ways are past finding out. Job himself acknowledged this very truth early on in his sufferings. In Job 9 and verse 10, which doeth great things past finding out. God doeth great things past finding out. Yea, and wonders without number. Job 9 and verse 10. The ways of our God are past finding out. Who then are we to challenge God, saying, what doest thou? We just cannot question or challenge the ways of God, even if they are hidden from us and they're hard to accept. That's what it is to rest and rely in the sovereignty of God. And when we go through that storm in life and we find it hard and we find that God's ways are hidden from us, it will be a comfort to us when we say, I'm just going to rest in the sovereignty of God. Remembering again the words of Daniel. We read in Daniel chapter 4. There in Daniel 4 and verse 35. Daniel 4, verse 35. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? He doeth according to his will. So we must, and may God enable us to do so, when we find ourselves in the valley of tears, or we find ourselves in one of the storms of life, we may ask the Lord, Lord, help us to say, have thine own way. Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I'm just the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting. Yield it and still. We then notice Job's intercession. Job now looks to the Lord in prayer. And we can see how earnest he is, how desperate he is for an answer. Verse 4 says, hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare unto, and declare thou unto me. Lord, speak to me. He wanted a word from the Lord, and the words of prayer go back to the exhortation of Elihu. If you go back to chapter 34 of Job, and the words of Elihu, Job 34 and verse 31. Surely it is meet to be said unto God, I have borne chastisement, I will not offend any more. That which I see not, teach thou me. If I have done iniquity, I will do no more. And here really is Job applying the words of Elihu. Words again. Surely it is meet to be said unto God. It's proper. It's only right that you should say unto God, I have borne chastisement. I will not offend any more. That's the right thing for us all to say. I've been chastened by the Lord. And I'm determined I will not offend anymore. I've learned my lesson. That which I see, not teach thou me. The things I don't see, the things I don't understand, Lord, teach them to me. If I have done iniquity, I will do no more. And now when we get to Job 42, Job is saying, "Hear, I beseech thee. I'm praying to thee, Lord. And I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me." Speak to me, Lord. Take away my ignorance. Show me the error of my ways. He's praying that the Lord would teach him so that he will not make the same mistakes again. He wanted to be taught not to say foolish things, not to speak out of turn, not to comment or pass judgment upon things which he didn't understand. He needed wisdom, not foolishness. He needed understanding, not ignorance. And Job knew that if he asked for such things, if he was made a wiser man, if he wanted to be a wiser man, the Lord would give him the wisdom. This is a prayer the Lord would answer. James 1 verse 5 tells us that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And how, believer, we need to pray that prayer on a regular basis. We need to pray that the Lord would teach us the error of our ways, the things that we have done wrong in the past, to ensure that we don't do those same things again. It is meet that we ask the Lord, or should ask the Lord for these things. It is meet. Surely it is meet to be said unto God, I have borne chastisement, I will not offend any more. It's only proper that we do that. Want to be better Christians? It's only proper that we do that. We come now to the last point, Job's contrition before God. In his prayer, Job had said, "Hear, I beseech thee." Now Job declares, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear." That, of course, is the order. Job is looking to the Lord in prayer. Job is speaking to the Lord and he's saying, "Hear me." And then he says, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear." So we speak to God in prayer and God speaks to us through his word. That's the order. Job had heard of the Lord through his word. Now Job is speaking to the Lord through prayer. Notice, first of all, the voice of God. Job says, verse 5, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear." Job heard the voice of God. Job had not only heard of the Lord, but he also heard from the Lord. Chapter 38, verse 1. "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said. Job chapter 40 and verse 1. Moreover, the Lord answered Job. Chapter 40 and verse 6. Then answered the Lord unto Job. Job had not only heard of the Lord, Job had heard the Lord. He had heard the voice of God. And it was during the days of his affliction that Job heard the voice of the Lord. You know, sometimes that's when we hear the voice of the Lord clearest. I'm not talking about hearing his voice audibly, but through the Word. Through the Word, the Lord speaks to us. Whenever we're laid aside, the Word of God becomes very precious to us, more precious than ever. And we read the Word, and we get a word from God, and it's like we have heard the voice of the Lord. It was when John was exiled in the Isle of Patmos. It was while he was there that he heard the voice of God. He heard a voice like a trumpet. And he turned to see the voice that spake with him. He was being afflicted. He was in exile for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. But that was when he heard the voice of God. It was when the Lord spoke to him. It was while he was on a ship in the midst of the great storm, Euroclydon, that Paul heard the voice of God. And he told his fellow travelers that night, and told them, fear not, because God had spoken to him. For we read in Acts 27, in verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I say, serve, saying, so he heard the voice of God. Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. I heard the voice of God, Paul said, in the midst of the storm. It was while Elijah was under a dark cloud of depression and despair that the prophet heard the voice of God. 1 Kings 19, verses 11 and 12. By these examples and that of Job, we see how we may often hear the voice of God in our times of affliction. When God will speak to us pointedly and personally as we read his word. Wouldn't be the first time that a sick who's been laid aside has received a word from the Lord. It is an indication, of course, that the Lord is near. When we hear at that sick bed the still small voice of God, let us know that the Lord is near. So Job said, I have heard thee by the hearing of the ear. And then he goes on to say, I have heard thee of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. He heard the voice of God, now he has a vision of God. Having heard the voice of God, Job was able to say, but now mine eye seeth thee. Now he has a great sight of God which he never had before. Job never said that before. Job never said before, but now mine eye seeth thee. Just like John on the Isle of Patmos, John had a view of the Lord that he had never had before. You've only to read first chapter of Revelation, as Christ is described there. And John never saw the Lord that way before. And here is Job, and he has a vision of God. Now he has a sight of God which he never had before. And mark that it was through the word that was spoken to him by the Lord that Job had a fresh view of the Almighty. Job chapter 40 and verse 6. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, Gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee and declare thy unto me. Wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous? Hast thou an arm like God, or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Deck thyself now with majesty and excellency, and array thyself with glory and beauty. That was the view that Job had of the Lord. Decked with glory and beauty. Job had never seen the Lord like that before. And sometimes the Lord reveals himself to us in a special way during our times of affliction. He did to Job as he did to John. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. And that leads us in the last place to his vexation before God. This view of the Lord vexed Job. Because the next verse says, verse 6, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. He had seen God in his might and in his holiness. He had seen the holiness of God, and in the light of his holiness, Job saw his own sin. This is what we need. This is what we need to see more of the holiness of God. Because if we see more of the holiness of God, we will see more of our sin. Like a piece of furniture sitting there in the living room. It has just been cleaned and polished a few days before. And on a bright sunny day like this, suddenly the sun shines in. And a beam of sunlight is cast over that same piece of furniture. And in the light of the sun, you can see all the dust. You've just cleaned it. And without the sunlight on it, it looks clean. But once the sunlight shines on it, you can see it's not so clean after all. And when the Sun of Righteousness shines upon us, we see the brightness of His glory, we see the brightness of His holiness, and we see that we are not so clean after all. We see our own wretchedness. You think of John again on the Isle of Patmos. When John saw the holiness of Christ, he fell down at the Lord's feet as dead. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. Think of the number of people in the Gospels who, when they saw Christ, they fell at his feet. And believer, when we see the Christ and see the holiness of the Lord as it is revealed to us in this book, that's where our place will be. And we'll come to the Lord's feet, and we shall repent in dust and ashes as we see how sinful and wretched we really are. We're not so clean after all. In the sunlight of Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shines upon us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord our God, we come again to Thee. And we know, Lord, that Thou art holy, thrice holy, and we are sinful. We think, Lord, again of Job, a man whom God said was perfect, upright, feared God and eschewed evil, and yet that same man repented of his sin in dust and ashes. Lord, we know from this that even the holiest of men will still see their sin and the sinfulness of their old nature. O Lord God, today, give us a view of Thy holiness. For it is only in the light of Thy holiness will we see our own sinfulness. Lord, write Thy precious word upon our hearts. May we learn from these verses. May we learn from the sufferings of Job. May we learn what he learned. May we be able to say also, I know that Thy Lord canst do everything because Thou art sovereign. Write Thy holy and precious word upon our hearts. Be with us, Lord, throughout this Sabbath day. Return us tonight in the spirit of expectancy. Keep Thy hand upon us. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.